Our text, of course, for this morning's message is from that gospel lesson we read just a few moments ago, and I think I left on the podium. Especially this part which reads, "And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." Dear friends in Christ, most of us remember the little hoopla last year and regarding fake news. It basically became the news of the year. All the political parties and newsrooms were accused of applying all of their own spin to news stories. It was on both sides in order to destroy the reputations and credibility of others, of the ones on the opposite side of the aisle, opposite side of the political spectrum. In our gospel today, though, we've got somebody else trying to use fake news, if you will. We got the Pharisees, who were actually a very powerful and influential political party in Jesus' day. They were trying to do much the same thing. They were actually spinning the activity of Jesus and all of the things that were taking place in order to suit their ongoing efforts to destroy his reputation and credibility. The issue was the Sabbath. And while abuses of the Sabbath, they are common, Jesus sets the record straight by directing our attention not to the law, but to the gospel. Now, on this particular day, the Sabbath day, there was this opportunity for the Pharisees. And they sought to use it and to spin it in order to discredit Jesus, and even if it was possible, to punish him. See, the disciples were hungry. And as they're going through these grain fields, they pluck the grain, the heads of the grain of wheat, which it in itself was absolutely permissible. In Deuteronomy 23:25, it says this: "If you go into your neighbor's standing grain, you may pluck the ears with your hand, but you shall not put a sickle to your neighbor's standing grain." In other words, if you're walking through the fields and you're hungry, you can go ahead and grab some grain. That's just par for the course in the law of Moses. Now, in addition to these laws of Moses, there were a bunch of additional rules that had been created for the Sabbath, including a rule specifically against reaping. Against reaping. Under that rule against reaping, plucking ears, it actually described it this way: "The act of breaking off anything from its stalk and rubbing it between one's hands to separate the grain," that's how specific they got, "was actually a kind of reaping." That's what the Pharisees were saying. And the punishment for reaping on the Sabbath was to offer a sacrifice if the reaping was done in ignorance. But if it wasn't done in ignorance and done willfully, you could be stoned to death for doing this. So, of course, you can probably guess the Pharisees saw this as a really great opportunity to find a wonderful, hook into Jesus, a way to find fault in Jesus. Now, the painting you see depicted on our screens up here is it's called "Christ Going Through the Wheat Fields" by John Whaley. And if you look in the very, very back, you can see the disciples kind of following Jesus. If you look in the very back, you can see there's Pharisees kind of following at a distance, and there's one kind of looking and scowling at the disciples that are gathering wheat from the fields. He's catching one of the disciples in the act of reaping. Now, you can see that, just from his expression, that there's already a plan in place for me to see how they could spin this to destroy Jesus or to harm him in some way. Now, applying their strict interpretation of the rules to the disciples' activity, the Pharisees thought that they could find some kind of fault with Jesus for letting his followers disregard and to even break the rules. What do they say there in verse 24? "Look, Why are you doing what is not lawful? Why are they doing what is not lawful on the Sabbath? As it so often happens with fake news, this effort by the Pharisees actually provided a response from Jesus, who moved the conversation from fake news to good news. Jesus and his disciples were making their way. They're actually making their way, as it says right there at the beginning. They're making their way, but they're making their way through more than just a grain field. Mark's inclusion of this story in his gospel and his particular choice of the words they made their way to describe what Jesus and his disciples were doing actually calls attention to Christ's overall purpose during his time here on earth. And of course his time on earth on this day and actually on every day of his life, because he's making his way to his sacrificial death on the cross. Jesus is on his way to the cross. The Pharisees are already, as we read in the story right after this, already planning to kill Jesus. In particular, of course, the disciples making their way for Jesus through the wheat field actually foreshadowed their doing the same thing for his final entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday. Jesus uses this, though. I love how he does this. He uses it as an opportunity to kind of overwhelm the Pharisees' fake news with the truth. First, he says there's a truth about the Sabbath that they don't know. That the Sabbath was made for man, that it exists for man, not man for the Sabbath. It was a day to be set aside each week for physical rest and spiritual care. And then there was that truth that was associated with David, that even as he assumed authority over the law to feed his soldiers, now the greater David, the Son of Man, the Son of David, he had arrived not only to assume authority over the law, but to actually atone for its consequences to humankind, to atone for its consequences to you and to me and to all people. These gospel truths actually trumped all of the legal charges that the Pharisees might have attempted to bring forward to destroy Jesus' reputation and his credibility. So as we consider this text today, it's important to recognize that the fake news about the Sabbath didn't end when Jesus set those Pharisees straight. There's still, of course, a lot of accusers that are similar to the Pharisees who are proud for having never missed a Sunday worship in umpteen years, who regard observing the Sabbath day that as some sort of a litmus test to judge the faith and life of other Christians. I've even heard people say, judge other people because they don't come to church as regularly as others. Of course, even it's a lot more common to hear those who spend the Sabbath to suit themselves, right? I don't really need to go to church to hear the same thing over and over again. I can find physical relaxation, and I can worship God on the golf course, at a soccer field. I can be out in the great outdoors just as well as I could as a pew sitter in a church building. And probably my favorite one of all, from a biker friend back in Texas, he said this: I'd rather be riding my motorcycle thinking about God than sitting in church thinking about riding my motorcycle. I always say, it's funny. See, these attitudes towards God's third commandment, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, can actually only result in carelessness about the Sabbath. Actually, carelessness about all of God's commandments to put Him first. All of their Sabbath day errors cost them the opportunity to receive the encouragement of fellow Christians. They They missed the opportunity to receive the power of God's gospel to strengthen their faith and their life. So for this reason, and prompted by our text this morning, it's important to review once more what the Old Testament Sabbath still means for us in this day, today, in our age. First, the truth that the Sabbath indeed was created for man. It was provided by God to satisfy important needs for each and every one of us. It's a day of physical rest. It's a day of spiritual restoration. The second thing is, the truth is that when we do keep the Sabbath by assembling ourselves together for mutual encouragement, we actually have an opportunity to hear no less than God's Spirit-given and Spirit-laden Word, and its reminder of the work that Jesus did as he made his way to the cross. All the more important as we see the day drawing near. There's probably no more important words than that we hear on the Sabbath day, on the day when we come to church, when we come here for worship. And your sins are forgiven for Jesus' sake. Now go in peace. How sad it is, really. I mean, how serious it is when we fail to make use of the opportunities to come together. When we fail to make use of the time to celebrate together what God has done for us and to receive the assurance of the forgiveness of our sins. There's a story about a wealthy churchman who was approached by a college fundraiser to make a contribution to this particular church-related college, to the school's endowment fund. And the churchman, strong Christian churchman, said, "No thanks, I don't like strawberries." You probably guess what the guy's like. What does that have to do with making a contribution to the college? And he says, "Well, if you don't want to do something, any excuse will do." That's kind of the nature of all the excuses not to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Thank God for the Son of Man, who on the day in our text actually made his way through those wheat fields on his way to saving you and me from our false pride or our lame excuses. I'm not talking about valid excuses. I'm talking about lame excuses regarding the Sabbath, along with all of those other sins that we commit. Brothers and sisters in Christ, your sins are forgiven. You may go in peace. Amen. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in